What's up, everyone? This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on all major podcast platforms. Just look or search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast, as well as you can search for us on various social media pages such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, Rich, so for today's episode, obviously we'll be recapping the Chiefs win at Arrowhead over the Steelers for a super wild card weekend. Obviously, we played in the last game from the weekend. But besides that, though, what were your kind of thoughts overall for all the games on during super wild card weekend?
Anytime that we get more football, that's usually a good thing. But this whole 7 seed thing, I was listening to something this morning that they are now 0-4. Every 7 seed is now 0-4, which I'm sure if you go back and look at the number 6 seeds and number 5 seeds before the expansion, they're probably very low. There's a reason why the college football playoff is only 4 teams, and number 1 and number 2 almost always play each other.
Yeah.
Same with the NFL. If you go back and look historically, it's rare that a wild card team makes it pretty far. But it just seems like the 7 seeds, I mean, the Niners, right? They pulled off. Technically, some people would say that they pulled off an upset. But the Steelers just weren't good at all. I don't know how they made it to the 7 seed. I like the fact that there was more football, but there was definitely some stinkers in a wild card weekend. So overall, again, happy because there's more games, but the quality of some of them were just, very one-sided with the Bills, the Chiefs, and especially the Buccaneers game.
Yeah, you could even say the Rams game. I think they might have probably could have scored even more points.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
New York. But I agree with you there. You get more football. I think it's a lot more, it's a lot fun for everybody who obviously – loves football, enjoying watching it, especially for meaning games like the playoffs. But it's going to start kind of questioning, adding that extra team for each conference, is it really worth it or not? And like you mentioned, really when they had the 5 or 6 seeds, a lot of those teams didn't make it. The only team, at least that I can remember or I can recall, was because it kind of reminded me of the Steelers, with this year, with Big Ben being, supposedly his last game, what we played them on Sunday, but was when the Steelers were the 6th seed, and it was Jerome Bettis's last year, and he got hurt that year, and I believe he came back in the wild card game, and they went on to win the Super Bowl that year, and obviously he retired and that sort of thing, but that was the only time I could actually remember an actual 5 or 6 seed actually running the table, because it's very hard for a team to pretty much go on the road the whole entire playoffs and then obviously pull off the Super Bowl win too as well. So yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I mean, it's fun watching as many games as you get, but at the same time, it kind of disinterests a little bit whenever you have like blowouts, at least half of the games we saw this weekend pretty much. So I'm right there with you on that. So going forward, as far as on the Chiefs and Steelers game, I guess I'll send it to you for the box score and stats from the game.
Alrighty, so high level score-wise, Chiefs at 42, Steelers 21, which I had to check on that a few times because I'm like, when did they score 21 points? But again, right, some late, as they say, garbage time points.
What I was going to say too is. I know you're going to say you said garbage points, but I was going to say, yeah, if you had fantasy last week and you had some Steelers on your team, you probably might have would have won your game if it had stayed extended because, yeah, there was a lot of garbage time on their end.
Right. So going into the yardage categories, start off with the Steelers. Overall total is 257, 201 in the air, 56 on the ground. Not the best day offensively for them. Chiefs are at 478 total, 372 in the air, 106 on the ground. Big Ben's numbers were 29 of 44, 215, two touchdowns. He was sacked twice with a quarterback rating of 92.5. I'll continue on with the Steelers numbers there. So their leading rusher was Najee Harris with only 29 yards. And then their top receiver from just an overall perspective was Deontay Johnson. Had 10 targets, 5 receptions, 34 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, and if you remember, he had a lot of drops, which is pretty uncharacteristic of him. And then from a Chiefs stat column perspective, 30 for 39, 404, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, sacked 3 times, the quarterback rating of 138.2, and those are Patrick Mahomes' numbers. And then another passer that we had in this game was Travis Kelce, 1 for 1, 2 yards, and 1 touchdown with 118.7 passer rating. So, you know, Travis Kelce can retire as a pretty darn good quarterback, 1 for 1. On the ground, Jerry McKinnon had 12 attempts for 61 yards. And then in the receiving category, not only is Travis Kelce the second best quarterback on this team, but he also does a pretty good job at catching the ball with 7 targets, 5 receptions, 108 yards, and a touchdown. Of course, there were a few other Chiefs that had some good numbers in the air. Like Jerry McKinnon had 6 targets, 6 receptions, 81 yards, and 1 touchdown. Tyreek Hill had a touchdown as well, and then Byron Pringle had 2 touchdowns. So overall, really good day for the Chiefs offense. Going into the interceptions, Devin Bush was the one that had the interception there in the first half off of the T.J. Watt deflection. And then sacks for Pittsburgh were by Alex Highsmith, T.J. Watt, and Montrevious Adams. For the Chiefs in the sack column, Michael Dana and Tershawn Worthen led the way there. And then your leading tackleman for both teams was Nick Bolton and L'Jarius Sneed with 8 combined tackles. Both of them also had 6 solo and 2 assists. And then Terrell Edmonds and Minkah Fitzpatrick led the way for the Steelers with 6 combined tackles. Terrell Edmonds had 6 solo, and Minkah Fitzpatrick had 5 solo with 1 assisted. So those are the overall numbers for this game. Again, right, kudos to Travis Kelce for perfect passer completion percentage.
Right. Yeah, so as far as on injuries from the game, so Rashad Fenton was obviously slated to play the game, but he hurt his back in pre-warmups, so was unable to go. So he was put on the inactive for the game. And not so much so far we've heard of right now, other than it's kind of, I think it's like a day-to-day kind of thing with his back injury. Obviously, we saw Darrell Williams played a little bit there in the first half. But as we'll talk into it here a little bit after the whole, I guess you could say, debacle on the fumble that had T.J. Watt returning it for a touchdown. After that play, he did not, I don't think he actually came in the game at all. They kind of sat him out because he was still lingering that toe injury. I didn't think he might actually play. So he played a little bit up until then, and then he was out for the rest of the game. It does appear that good news as far as Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It looking like he possibly could be back this week. I think already this week it looks like he's practiced a little bit. So we'll talk more about, obviously, in our preview for the Bills divisional game. But it looks like there's a possibility that he might play this week. But outside of those three guys, that's really it as far as on the injury front for the Chiefs moving forward. So as far as our high-level plays of the game, there was a lot. And most of them are pretty much just for scores because they were just, you know, long gains long runs for touchdowns, basically. And I kind of want to clump all this. I'll just kind of start off with kind of the biggest ones, obviously, because I'll just kind of clump them all together because we all know that Mahomes had 5 touchdowns in the span of, 10 minutes and 30 seconds of game time? So I might as well just go ahead and clump them all together, and then I'll get your thoughts, Rich, afterwards. But obviously the first, touchdown, Mahomes had the underhand flip to Jared McKinnon. That was the first touchdown, which we've seen that so many times, whether it be the Kelce, even the fullback. And we're talking about even from the days where, you know, obviously we had Anthony Sherman to Burton. He always did that to even, you know, those guys. So that's been a play that we've seen time and time again. Then obviously the second touchdown that Mahomes threw was a pump fake throw to Pringle for a touchdown, which was a pretty solid play for Pringle to get open in the back of the end zone for the touchdown. The third and 20, Mahomes to Kelce touchdown right before the end of the second half, where Kelce made obviously a nice run to get into the end zone to finish off the half. Then that fourth touchdown, obviously, I think you probably will end up talking about this a little bit more later, but the touchdown pass to Nick Allegretti, offensive lineman, you know, big guy touchdown, as people would say. So always fun seeing that. And then also his last touchdown to Tyreek Hill, which was a nice fade, basically a nice fadeaway right there. Or I would say a fadeaway, but a nice fade, I would say, pass in the back of the end zone there. So what are your thoughts far on those Mahomes five touchdowns?
Yeah, I know the first one is when that happened, I was thinking, you know, it's going to be the perfect time for that play. It worked out, which was good. And then really the one that stands out is the one that you talked about there at the end with the basically the go route. I mean, in a way, it was a go route. Tyreek Hill had an inside release and was able to stack the wide receiver because of how fast he is, get on his outside, and just basically beat him. And Mahomes hit that mug right on the money. So, I mean, it was one of those vintage Mahomes-style games. Let's say, obviously, there was a turnover, which, you know, I think this year we've criticized Mahomes a lot more for, you know, when he does his Mahomes magic type stuff. But you got to live with it, right? In this case, it worked out. He did it early, and after that, he was perfectly fine. But, yeah, it was just vintage Mahomes. A lot of throws that, let's say, most quarterbacks in the NFL can't do. Even to where one that you didn't really call out because it wasn't such a big play, but do you remember the one when he was rolling right? It throws it completely across the field to Byron Pringle, who's in one-on-one coverage. And I would say it was a Byron Pringle drop because he was able to get his hands on it. But just even that play alone, right? Again, it was a one-on-one matchup. Pringle had the opportunity to make the catch. And I know, of course, he made, you know, two catches for touchdowns. But this, like I said, it was an old school Mahomes, a vintage style game from him. And it was fun to watch. It was a really fun game to watch.
Yep. And no, I was actually glad you mentioned that because I was going to kind of bring up the one before that he did that, which I think you kind of mentioned the interception, where it was kind of on my list too, was Mecole Hardman had the really nice 48-yard punt return that was looking to pretty much set up our first score of the game. In the very next play, you know, Mahomes gets a little bit greedy. There's about four or five Steeler fans. He's rolling to our fans. Players that are, he's rolling to the right, and he's trying to go a little bit across his body over the middle, and it ended up getting tipped by TJ Watt, and I think it was Devin Bush that came down with it for the interception. But you know, that was kind of like, obviously Mahomes does that a lot. I mean, obviously there's the golden rule for quarterbacks in the NFL that you don't throw across the field or your body like that, but Mahomes has done it so many times and has done really well with it. You know, obviously you're not going to tell him to not continually do that, because there's a lot of times he'll make those throws and, you know, the wide receiver will catch the ball. But, you know, obviously that one was kind of a little bit of a mistake because he kind of threw it in a crowded area. But like you said, he came back and he did it again for a longer pass to Pringle. And I agree with you on that. I think that was kind of, you know, Pringle's drop more than anything, I think, for that end. But, yeah, I kind of want to point out that first one too as well, that, you know, Hardman had that great punt return, and obviously we didn't get any points from that one. And the other one, obviously this is a defensive one where, once again, we had a nice defensive turnover like we did against the Broncos with Melvin Ingram and Nick Bolton returning it for a touchdown. But this one was when Willie Gay made that nice strip on the ball. I can't remember exactly what the wide receiver was. Do you remember who that was?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I'm sitting here trying to think.
I don't think it was Juju Smith.
Johnson. Yeah, it was Deontay Johnson.
Johnson. Okay, so it was Deontay Johnson. Willie Gay made that nice play on Johnson, and you know, Frank Clark recovered the ball there that I believe set up a touchdown on that drive too as well. But that was another good, like I said, a good defensive play by our wonderful linebackers that we have this year. And you know, I guess you could say it's been kind of, as far as on the linebacker stance, we've pretty much had probably one of the better linebacker groups that we've had in quite some time, with some of these young guys mixed with some of the veterans that we've had. So that was nice to see that play. And then the last one that I had on my list was the Kelce touchdown pass to Byron Pringle, which, gosh, you can't say enough about Kelce in this game, which we'll talk about maybe here a little bit too as well. But just to see him actually get involved and, you know, throw a touchdown pass, I thought that was kind of cool to see that too as well. And actually, I'm there at the game, and I see the play happening, and he throws the pass. And for some reason, I thought, at least from my angle, because I wasn't looking on the screen, I was kind of looking from my seat, I thought he actually threw an incomplete pass. I didn't even actually know it was actual touchdown. And then I was like, oh, Pringle did actually catch it for a touchdown. So, but yeah, that was another you know, play I had to mention from the game too as well. Was there any on your end, Rich, that I didn't get to or didn't mention?
No, I mean, the big one for me was, like you said, that Willie Gay strip. It was perfect placement. We had a few people around the ball, and, you know, he took it upon himself to go after the ball because the tackle was technically secured, right, with a few people around Deontay. So just a really, really heads-up play. I think there were several times where Melvin Ingram wreaked havoc in the backfield. To pinpoint one specific one, right, I'd have to go back and tell you the exact moments off of a YouTube clip or something like that. And then, of course, you know, Frank Clark celebrating there, right, when he's when he recovers that fumble. So, no, just overall a fun game on both sides of the ball. Looks like the defense is having fun, too. So some old-school vintage Chiefs football to show off to their opponent for next week.
All right, for sure. And so for our game balls this week, I'm going to let you take this one because we kind of discussed this a little bit first. I'll let you take this one first off, and then because we pretty much have a couple of different ones we can go with. So I'll let you start off, and then I'll recap after that.
All right, game ball. So for me, I try to be different and talk through a different name for some reason, but when you put up the numbers that Patrick Mahomes did, you know, it's kind of an absolute obvious game ball there. But the cool thing about football, right, is that there's multiple ones. So for me, without a doubt, it's Patrick Mahomes, old school vintage Mahomes, and having a lot of fun just playing the quarterback position in a very different manner than almost every quarterback in the NFL. And the numbers reflected it. I mean, there was even a little bit of bouncing back from adversity after throwing a pick early on. But yeah, when you go 30 for 39 with 404 yards, 5 touchdowns, you know, you definitely deserve at least one game ball.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to argue that. I mean, I could sit here all day and talk about some other players, but I would think he's obviously number one that would deserve the game ball, like, more than anything. But just to give some other guys that I thought should be some mention, one I'll just kind of give a little tidbit on is Jerick McKinnon. You know, obviously the guy's had a pretty rough career as of late. Obviously, he played for the Vikings. You know, he had a really good 1,000-yard season, then ran into some injury problems within the last 4 years with the Niners, so on and so forth. But, you know, I thought he had a really breakout game. Obviously, you know, the stats don't really show it as much as probably you watched it. I know he did have, obviously, the 12 carries for 61 yards, and then obviously the six catches for 81 yards. But, you know, it was a total of 142 yard scrimmage yards. But for someone like that, I think he, you know, kind of the breakout and kind of show what he can do and add that extra speed to a Chiefs offense that really, do we need more speed than we already have? I mean, obviously it helps, but, you know, he's a dangerous threat when he's healthy. And it kind of showed, you know, especially with our offensive line blocking real well for him as well, because I got to mention our offensive line on that because we've done so well as well. And he probably wouldn't have gotten some of those good screens or runs without them. But, you know, I thought I had to mention him And a lot of people are, I've seen some things people saying that will he have that Damon Williams type breakout playoff, you know, coming up. Well, you know, only time we'll see, you know, coming up with the Bills or and see what he can do there. But it's been, it's only one game and we'll see how it goes from there. But I thought he played pretty well and deserved at least a part of the, I guess you'd say a second tier game ball, but he's one of them. And the other one I'm going to have to go with, obviously, Travis Kelce. He continues to set records just as much as Mahomes is right now. That's actually, I don't think it's a record, but I know it's his fourth straight playoff game with over 100 yards receiving. I do know that he was the first ever player to have 100 yards receiving, throw a touchdown pass, and then also, what was the other thing? I think it was, obviously catch one. Yeah. Catch touchdown pass two as well, but there's that. And then also the impressive one that, you know, I think some people had read that, most career games with 100 yards, and this is not just tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, whoever, most career, you know, games with 100 yards, just receiving, and guess who, and a number, and I'm going to say the person at the top of the list is Jerry Rice, right? He's got 8. Well, Travis Kelce's got 7. And ooh, he's how old? I mean, what? I mean, compared to, you know, probably where Jerry Rice was here in his career at this point.
Because, I mean, Jerry Rice, he was like 42, so I wonder how many, yeah, how many he had at the age of 32. So Travis exactly. is 32. And I know the game has changed, it's different, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that'd be an interesting little tidbit to look into.
But just, I mean, I think he deserves it too as well. He's obviously, I think, surpassed Tony Gonzalez as far as the greatest Chiefs, not only tight end, but wide receiver.
Or so, actually, remember, Tony Gonzalez is a Falcon, remember that.
Yeah, I know it. That too, but I mean, as far as, you know, if people want to compare him or whatever, I think he's up there, but you know, I think once it's said and done, if he keeps up this pace, I think there's no doubt he's definitely going to be the greatest tight end of all time the way he's playing right now. But
yeah, I mean, because let's see, even with his position, right, which is a it's a brutal position, right? Playing tight end, you have to block, you have to hit, you know, you're hitting, you're catching passes in the hardest part mm-hmm. of the field, right in the middle for the most part. But I mean, yeah, even if it gets, let's just say we get 5 more years out of him, I don't see how, if he continues the same streak, he's not only the best tight end of all time, but I mean, he goes down as like one of the top, you could say 50 for sure players in, you know, NFL history.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like I said, as long as he continues it and, you know, doesn't run into any kind of like injury problems or anything that are major, anything coming up, you know, I think you're absolutely right there with the, could be a top 50 player you could be looking at in quite some time, you know, and, you know, is when you look back on his career anyways. But obviously, like I said, Mahomes number one for game ball, but I had to mention Jarrett McKinnon and Travis Kelce as well, because they both had fantastic games. But it's like pretty much, you could probably mention some defensive players too as well, or even offensive line, but those three guys, I think, were the most important pieces that made this game possible.
Yeah, I mean, and just to kind of, let's say, praise Travis even more, I'm looking at this list, right, of 100 yards, most 100-yard receiving games in the playoffs. I mean, just look at these names. Jerry Rice, obviously, is one. Travis Kelce is two. Julian Edelman, which, again, someone will say he deserves Hall of Fame because of that. But then you got Michael Irvin. You've got Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Hines Ward, Andre Reed, John Stallworth. Ooh, that's an old name. Devontae right. Adams, Anquan Boldin. I mean, these are all, I mean, let's say between Rice, Irvin, Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown, Andre Reed, all of those guys except for Antonio Brown will probably be in the – oh, I'm sorry, are in or will be in the Hall of Fame. Man, so that's really, really impressive for a tight end to be the lone one in there. And I think the next tight end is Vernon Davis with 4 and Gronk with 4.
Well, and think of this too. So Kelce's played 9 playoff games. 6 of his 9 playoff games, he's had over 100 yards receiving.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like, and he's a tight end, right? I mean, you don't really normally expect tight ends to drop that kind of numbers, like you would probably like a wide receiver, like the ones that you mentioned on that list. So, yeah, it's just, it's remarkable of, you know, the time that we're in right now, seeing what he's doing in dominance on the field.
And he was, what, a third round pick? I always forget, third or fourth. Let me see if I can find it quickly.
I was trying to remember about that too. He was third round pick, 63rd overall.
Yep.
So yeah, a lot of times people, you know, praise number one and even number two picks, but sometimes you get those dynamite steals in the third and fourth round. I mean, we could kind of go on and on with that at some point, but I mean, obviously, you know Tom Brady and him, his late draft status and how he turned out. So yeah, you never know what kind of diamonds in the rough you can kind of find, for sure. So, but yeah, like I said, those guys all deserve the game ball 100%. And so really on this next one, obviously we normally have, you know, players that disappointed, and this is kind of hard game to really have even one. Like normally you might have, maybe you can probably pick out a few. Even just to have one is kind of tough. I think obviously you're going to probably go with the obvious, so I'm just going to go with one that's like kind of I was just going to go with, but I have Mike Hughes, because I know he did give up two of the touchdowns there in the end, but obviously some of it was kind of in meaningless time. But I think even early on in the game, he kind of struggled a little bit. I wouldn't say he had like a terrible game. Like we've seen worse games from him, but I still felt like he kind of had a bad game in coverage. But yeah, I know, like I said, yours is probably the obvious one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same, right? It was hard to, you know, criticize someone that much to the point where it was, needed or something like that. But I mean, Darrell Williams, right? When you fumble twice on one play, you know, I think we gotta call you out in some way. And yeah, I get it was a wild cut. You know, you're catching a handoff from a wide receiver, so someone you're not used to, and you could say maybe the ball placement wasn't perfect or whatever, but he had it. It kind of slipped out a little bit, and then he regains it, and then he fumbles again. So I wouldn't say maybe like disappointing. It was just a blooper from the game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you fumbled twice. That's a stat we need the stat heads to look into.
You probably deserve to be on the list. I mean, it's not as bad as like the famous Sanchez butt fumble or anything like that. Yeah. But like that's way worse. Yeah, but he definitely deserves on some point of one of the bad moments of the game, I guess you would say, anyways. So as far as my favorite moment from this game, I'm gonna go with, there was a play right before the end of the second half where Mahomes kind of scrambles a little bit, throws it on the run on target, little bit across, not so much across the field, but to DeMarcus Robinson for about, I think it's a 27-yard pass that ultimately ended up setting up Travis Kelce's touchdown there in the half, couple plays later. But what I kind of want to point out is why is my favorite play is just, it's time and time again, you don't see quarterbacks that don't have their feet planted and they're on the run and they throw a dart to a perfect pass to wide receiver. And it's just unbelievable to see this time and time again from Mahomes. And another reason why I point this out is we have, where I'm sitting at the game, we have some Steeler fans, obviously, throughout the whole stadium, but there was some that were in front of us. And after he made that pass and Robinson caught it and whatnot, he just looked at his buddy with like the look on his face and he was like, wow. Like, I mean, it's just stuff that, you know, obviously Chiefs fans we see all the time, or at least we've seen recently with Mahomes, but it's time and time again, he makes those passes that are just unbelievable that other quarterbacks you've never really seen do before. So I had to point that out as pretty much one of, you know, obviously my favorite moment from the game.
Yeah, I mean, and the cool thing about those throws is, you know, like when Madden wasn't as sophisticated as it is now and you'd be scrambling with, I don't know, a Peyton Manning, or not scrambling, right, but avoiding pressure, and you just kind of hit the button that you're trying to throw it to, and the pass would be really ugly. Like, right. Patrick does that, you know, and even still playing Madden to this day, you know, sometimes I'll be running right and I'll throw it left, and he makes it. So,
right.
Yeah, it's just, he's video game like, right? There, you know, the two players that I've always compared Patrick to are Steph Curry and Lionel Messi. Two players that it almost seems as though they aren't real. It's video game like, just because of some of the things they are able to do. And sometimes it bites more this year than in previous years. It's gotten the best of Patrick, but he's been able to recover and have a pretty darn good season with, 37 touchdowns with these 5, 42.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so my play, my favorite play of this game would be the infamous, as labeled by our social media team, or the Chiefs social media team, not our social media team, the thick six play, right? Little play action pass. The team is all scrambling to the right. Defense is moving to their left. Looks like it's going to be a quick out pass after the play action, and they slip the made eligible Allegretti out, catches a touchdown. And as soon as that ball is in his hands and he, you know, secures it, catches the touchdown, my man is celebrating. Of course, everybody goes over there to celebrate with him, because anytime a lineman gets a touchdown, you know, it's a big party.
Right.
So that was cool. That was my favorite part. I really liked and appreciated how Andy Reid just really opened up the playbook. I know sometimes people will say, oh, well, it's easier team, don't show your cards. Man, you know, it's the NFL. Those guys, they've got guys literally that are assigned to watch games and sometimes even years worth of plays. So they know everything that's in Andy's arsenal. They just don't know when it's coming for the most part. So I really appreciated that. And like I said, that thick six touchdown was nice to see. Reminds me of what did they call that play where Dontari Poe did the little jump throw? Was it Hungry Hippo?
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's always cool to see those kind of things. And you know what's one thing that made me think about? Is we all know that Andy Reid's roots are from the West Coast offense.
Right.
And even though there are still some concepts of the West Coast offense in this Patrick Mahomes-led offense, you got to give a ton of praise to Andy Reid and his ability to not only, you know, put aside his ego, but to adapt. And if you watch this offense, and like I said, this game was almost like a perfect culmination of the type of offense that Patrick Mahomes or any air raid, you know, team ran in college, right? If you watch some of these college programs like a Lincoln Riley led team, Oregon with Chip Kelly, you can even go back to Meyer and, you know, Florida, where they just throw the ball and are doing all kinds of like trick plays, and it's fun to watch. Big props to Andy Reid for adjusting the style and making his style fit his personnel, which at the end of the day is mostly Patrick Mahomes. It's like watching the two or three games that I did watch Texas Tech when Mahomes was there, even before Mahomes was there. It's almost, you know, the exact same thing. So,
I guess you
can add Andy Reid to the thick six, since he is also part of that group, right? Being a former offensive lineman.
Right. So did you think like you were going to get another Eric Fisher part two, or you might have a beer from a fan when he scored a touchdown?
That's funny. No, I didn't. I mean, like, it was funny because I've, you know, watched that play a few times, and man, the happiness on that man's face, on Nick Allegretti's face is hilarious. Like the ball is barely in his hands and he has it secured. But he was already running. He lifts his hands up, you know. So my kid, you know, she's a soccer player. And one thing I've always given her crap about is her celebrations are terrible. My kid just raises her hand like a wrestler that just pinned somebody.
Oh, wow.
And so it's funny because she said, she was like, Dad, he celebrated like I do when I score a goal. And yeah, man, it was just like that I don't, you know, you don't know what to do when you score. Mm-hmm. So when most people are happy, right, they raise something. And he just threw up a hand, the ball's in the other one. So that was cool to see.
That was fantastic. So real quick, before we get into kind of our final topics here, what did you think? Because I didn't see it, right? Obviously, the game, I wasn't paying attention. Probably I was too busy celebrating. What did you think of the hilarious Tyreek Hill celebration after his touchdown with the pom-poms from the cheerleader? I thought that was great, too.
So that's what's – man, so, I mean, like, of course, you know, I'm all about fun. I think, you know, when the NFL punishes these guys for having fun, it's dumb. And, of course, you know, the pom-pom – it reminds me of Terrell Owens when he did that, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I was like, have fun. You know, have a good time. Thankfully, he didn't get flagged, right? But then, do you notice when Patrick goes over there and gets him and is like, come on.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want you to get flagged. Let's go back. It's pretty much kind of
that. Just like, so it was like, It was another perfect culmination of, we knew it was a party. The Chiefs were on it. They were having fun. And then, of course, your leader, who, you know, we've talked about how he is, he's got that Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, you know, zeroed in on just being successful and being great. Where my man with Tyreek touchdown, what was that, the fourth one? Yeah, I think it was the fourth touchdown that he had thrown. Or no, that's, I think.
No, that was the fifth one. That was the, yeah, the one he did within. Yeah, fifth one.
So, so it's, you know, it's the last one. And he's, you know, we're up. Actually, no, wait, it's the fourth one. Byron Pringle was the last one. So.
Oh, yeah.
So Tyreek, you know, so we're already up big. At that moment, we're up 35-7. And
oh yeah, I'm sorry. I just meant that was Mahomes' last touchdown because Kelsey had the last touchdown. Yeah,
yeah,
sorry.
yeah. Good point. So, you know, we're up 35-7, and your leader is going over there and saying, "Hey guys, you know, like, we still need to focus. We need to rein in on this, right? Because one, it's not over. Two, you know, let's just keep playing, right?" So, it was good to see overall all those things happening, and it really boosted my confidence after, two okay performances in the last two games of the season. So yeah.
Yeah. And
now, so I saw that you shared that you've shared some memes. What is the is there like a deeper meaning in it than just he's celebrating and they're putting people dancing next to him?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit, you know, because it's kind of crazy whenever, obviously, in the world we're in today, and that there's one screenshot of something good, they'll just put them in different memories, right? So, like, yeah, obviously, yeah, that's what they do. Like, so obviously, you know, they put them one with the Joker when he's like, you know, dancing on the stairs. They do the one with the Niners when they're celebrating the Super Bowl versus the Chiefs, or I think they had one with Bernie Sanders, you know, when he was, you know, sitting there in the chair with his. Yeah. You know, with his, what do you call it? Whatever, gloves on or something, yeah, in the presidential speech. Yeah. So they're just kind of putting that just kind of happens. I think just like kind of something funny that, you know, see that they put all different kind of different, famous pictures or whatnot from the past or something. So, but yeah, I thought it was hilarious. And like you said, it's interesting to see, you know, Mahomes saw that and he's like, all right, man, it's time to stop celebrating. So you don't get a flag. So come back to the, you know, sidelines. It was kind of like, I think it was, I don't know if it was last year, it might have been 2 years ago, whenever, I remember when he had Tyreek, he basically carried Tyreek Hill on his back back to the sidelines. I think that might have been 2 years ago. But yeah, it was kind of like something like that. It just out there having fun. And it's good to see.
Right.
So onto our final kind of couple topics real quick. And it kind of regards the playoffs and super wild card weekend. So if you had listened to our preview for our Steelers Chiefs preview anyways, we kind of did a kind of prediction real quick over the rest of the games that were happening during the weekend. And we pretty much nailed because we had the same picks for all the games. So we pretty much nailed all the games except for one. It was the Bills and New England game. And that was obviously one of the blowout games. We kind of thought New England actually would come out and, you know, Bill Belichick would have his old defensive style kind of game and kind of shut down Josh Allen, which totally didn't happen. It was totally the opposite for that. They didn't shut him down at all. But what were your thoughts on that that Bills New England game that just wasn't even a fair contest, I would even say?
Yeah, I mean, I was totally surprised. You know, there's that whole Brady Belichick debate, who makes who. I think it's dumb to separate each one. Brady isn't Brady without Belichick. Belichick isn't Belichick without Brady. Same as Steve Walsh without Montana and Young, so on and so forth, right? Or even nowadays, right? Mahomes and Reed. So it was just weird to see a Belichick team look that out of sorts. I mean, Buffalo looked like they knew what was coming. They knew, or I shouldn't say what was coming, where everybody was supposed to be. They were just hitting on all cylinders. Josh Allen was, I got a few texts about, you know, they called him Josh Vick or Mike Allen because, you know, he was out there running things. But, yeah, I was just very, very surprised that, you know, if anything, I wanted the Patriots to win because I wanted Belichick to, you know, kind of get some without Brady redemption or praise. Mac Jones wasn't very good, and you know, everyone has their thoughts on him, but I was just surprised at how well the Bills played. And I think that also led to the Chiefs kind of showing out a little bit too, because, you know, they knew they'd play each other.
Right.
So, yeah, so it was good to see you. I mean, and we'll talk about that matchup, you know, in a few days.
Yeah. I mean, like, pretty much almost a perfect performance from the Bills. I mean, obviously, you know, just like Mahomes was 30 for 39, you know, Josh Allen was 21 for 25. You know, he had five touchdowns as well. And his rating was, what is that, nine? Well, that can't be right. There it is. Okay, 157.6, which is like a crazy unheard of rating for his game. But, yeah, obviously, I said we'll talk about, you know, that Chiefs-Bills fantastic matchup last game of divisional round coming up this weekend. But just like you said, I just would have thought it would have been more of an interesting game, and Belichick had a kind of had a plan for Josh Allen, but it just didn't happen that way that went down. But yeah, we'll look forward to probably some, you know, maybe a real shootout in the playoffs here coming up this weekend for sure. But we'll get to that, like I said, here in a few days. So the last one, I'll let you kind of talk about it here first, but I'll just kind of bring a little bit into it because. Obviously I was at the game, so I didn't really get a chance to see what all broke down on this. And I think everyone might know what I'm about to talk about. It's also a deal with the playoffs game. This is with the 49ers Cowboys game at the end of the game. I believe with, I want to say, was it like 14 seconds or
14 seconds, yes.
14 so. Seconds or 17 seconds. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys had the ball at the Niners 41. And I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was just, you know, as I think that game ran a little bit later than let's say TV time wanted. So, you know, we were still watching it. The Chiefs game is barely about to be on. It was a good game, right? It wasn't really a good game because 49ers were basically winning all game. And then Dallas kind of made it a thing there at the end. But so, yeah, it's, they've got some yardage to go. They're down by 6 points. So, you know, they're about at the 50 yard line. I can't remember the exact. And instead of maybe trying to get a quick out route, see if they can get it closer, because they're already in Dak's throwing range for a Hail Mary, they decide to, Kellen Moore, from what I understand, calls special play, which is this long quarterback sneak. Of course, the entire team moves with them so they can be as ready to go in order to spike this ball or maybe even do a fake spike. But there's 14 seconds left on the clock. They decide to run this. Dak gets a little bit more yards than what it sounds like they wanted him to get. And time runs out because, as opposed to handing the ball to the ref, they rely on the ref to find the ball at the spot. He has to break through the line, first of all, because Dak was in the way. And then he has to reset it, which, you know, the refs do that in every single play. So, yeah, it was crazy to see that happen because even in perfect execution, you're relying on a guy who is somewhere between 50 and 70 years old to keep up with athletes that are in their 20s and 30s and are amazingly conditioned. So that's the first aspect of it, right? You're relying on this ref because the ref is part of the game, right? They can't really say, oh, well, the ref is back there, so we got to wait. We got to slow the time down. No, those are all things you got to consider in your play call. So, yeah, they end up running this really long quarterback sneak. Dak runs for more than what he needed to get the first down, which I guess the reason for this is because they wanted a shorter throw or to run some kind of a play as opposed to one or two Hail Marys there at the end of the game. So, yeah, it's just crazy to rely on so many things that aren't in your favor or that you can't control.
Right.
14 seconds left. And, again, right, I've said it before on certain episodes that, like the Bengals and Chiefs decision, right, where Andy decides to play defense as opposed to letting them score and Patrick doesn't get a ball. You pay Dak all this money. You pay him to throw the ball. You don't pay him to run the ball. And you don't give him the opportunity to throw the ball in the end zone with Amari Cooper, who's, you know, a big body wide receiver. I forget their what's his name? Blake Schultz, the tight end. I can't remember his name. And then you've got CeeDee Lamb, who had just gotten hurt, but ran back out there to, you know, go ahead and try to help his team win the game, which you have to admire. But it's like, yeah, give yourself a chance to win the game. And it goes back to one thing I mentioned. I think it was in our chat or maybe even on like one of the social media posts. It's a lot of these new coaches, right? And I'm not talking about Mike McCarthy because Kellen Moore made the play call and Mike McCarthy okayed it. But a lot of these new coaches, and analytics are great, right? Everything you do in life, you should consider stats. But then there's got to be a feel for things. And Kellen Moore calling this play and trying to outsmart the game. I felt like not only Brandon Staley with all of his going for it on fourth downs and in weird situations, but even Kellen Moore calling a run, a quarterback sneak in a situation where the game says throw it deep. Your probability on a Hail Mary and some tip passes or pass interference are much higher than if you execute this play and then stop it with 1 second just to gain, 15, 20 yards. So that's my rant about it. It's one of those things where a lot of people were debating, and you've got the experts and the analysts saying why it's a good idea. Then you've got other folks saying, no, it's not a good idea. So those are my thoughts on it. And I don't know how much you've been able to catch up on it.
So the only things, a lot of things that I've read is about the refs related to this, right? So obviously, when they tried that final, even though he did run the ball, right? And they're trying to get to the line of scrimmage and spike the ball there with pretty much no time left. There's situations in games that you need to know the rules of the game. And this is actually a different game, and I'm going to mention real quick. I can't remember what playoff game it was, but it was kind of another one of those rules that you got to think that, what happens is whenever it's on a kickoff, if the guy, if you're smart enough to know this, because it's obviously part of the rule, that if, obviously you're out of bounds, like they're trying to kick the ball, maybe, in the end zone, but maybe it's rolling where it hits out of bounds, could be a penalty right on the kick return. You got to know that if you're the returner and it's close to going out of bounds, you can make yourself out of bounds and catch the ball. And right. It's obviously you get the ball at the 40, right? It's just an old rule that a lot of people don't know about. And it happened in one of the games, but what happened was the player caught the ball while he was still in bounds and then went out and they hit the ball at the 2 yard line. What I was going to get into is, so when the Cowboys here on this last drive of the game, they're trying to quickly, obviously get down and snap the ball. You got to know that the rule of the game is that you have to hand the ball to the official for them to spot the ball. You can't right. just spot the ball anywhere you want to and then snap the ball. That's not how the game works. And anyone, that's for one, that should be on Dak and the Cowboys to know that that's actually down to the T of the rule book to do that. Right. So reason I'm kind of bringing this up is because you're hearing a lot about how, Dak, I know he already apologized already, but he kind of came out and was pointing the finger at the ref was the reason right. why he lost. And there's always that old saying that if you point a finger at somebody, there's four more pointing right back at you for something that was obviously your fault, that what you did in the same point. But no, it's just from what I've been reading is that, there's a lot wrong with it, obviously. But at the end of the day, it's how the Cowboys handled that, the time management with Mike McCarthy, how Dak handled that last play. Just give your team a chance to win. Like you said, it shouldn't have been really a game in the end there. I think the 49ers are kind of messing around. That shouldn't have ever came down to that. But as far as on the Cowboys stance, they had a chance to somewhat give their team a chance to win there in the end, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, it bothers me when, you have players that are supposed to be at the top of their game, and then you take their skill or what you're paying them for the most money out of it. And that'd be like saying, hey, let's run a screenplay so that Tony Kukoc could get the last shot versus Michael Jordan. I get Tony Kukoc probably made some clutch threes, but Michael Jordan's your goat, your beast, your dog. You got to let him. You got to give him the opportunity. There was no way in hell, right, that Kobe would have passed the ball. Right. He wasn't going to get the final shot if it was designed for him. He wasn't going to pass it up. I mean, if I get it, and there's the whole insubordination of your play call and all that stuff, but how do you not as Dak say, Coach, we can't run this? Like, even someone did a breakdown, some NFL guys, right, did a breakdown of everybody has this play in their playbook because it's like a surprise play, right? But they said that even in a perfect situation, most teams have clocked this play somewhere between 17 to 18 seconds because the goal is just to get past the first down, declare yourself down, get everybody up to the line, hand the ref the ball so he can spot it, it should take 17 to 18 seconds. And if you watch it, you only had 14 seconds, but it really probably did take about 17, 18 seconds with, you know, the ref trying to figure it out and stuff. So that's a part where I say, like, you man, like, Dak has to be like, coach, this isn't the time for that. Not in this situation. We got to throw it. You know, we have to throw this ball, go for a pass interference or something like that. So, again, right, it's there's a few things that I'm on the soapbox about for it. And it's, yeah, I think the biggest one is, you know, give your players the opportunity to be great. And then two, the game of football is always the most legit. If you're good at things like protecting the ball, moving the ball efficiently, and being disciplined, you'll be successful, right? And I think the Cowboys showed that they lacked all three of those things on that play call.
Correct. Yep.
And that's why they haven't won a playoff game since they won the Super Bowl, right?
In 1995. Nah, are you sure? I thought they had to win at least one playoff game since, because I thought Tony Romo's got one playoff win.
Yeah,
under his belt. I think you're trying to say the last time they hadn't won a game was the game. Well, they won the game, right? And then the next game was the whole Dez, I caught it pass. I think they won the game before that.
I think they beat Seattle, I think.
Yeah, I want to say that. And then that game was the game that they haven't won since that. I don't think they've won since that whole Dez, you know, caught it kind of, you know, play there in the playoff. But yeah, it's been a while for them for sure. So, obviously, yeah,
2018, really? 2018?
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. So maybe they did win one after that then.
2018, 2014, 2009, and then before 2009, last time was 96. So,
yeah. Interesting. But yeah, it is, you know, you're not going to win games, obviously, how you manage that last drive, that's for sure. And in the playoffs, it's not the time to show up and be like that for sure. So, but yeah, well, like I said, we will talk about the additional, you know, playoff games we got coming up this weekend with the divisional game. All the games look like they're going to be really good to watch, I think. So we'll kind of discuss more so on all the other games, including obviously the big one for us, the Chiefs and Bills game, which people are saying should be pretty much could be a Super Bowl. I mean, if you could make it that way, they should be a Super Bowl between the two teams. But we'll talk more about that coming up soon. So with that being said, that's actually all the time we have for today. Like I said, check back later this week. We will break down the matchup between the Chiefs and Bills at Arrowhead for the divisional round playoff. And so thanks again for everyone listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.